Amen. Well, we are continuing our series on faith. Have you guys ever been enjoying the series on faith? I have been enjoying it. I have been being encouraged myself, and it is absolutely wonderful. We are continuing, and today we have gotten to letter E. Letter number E. And you know what? I figured out why we say letter number E is because we try so hard not to say it that we say it up here and say, don't say that, and we end up saying it. Anyways, we're talking about letter E today, that faith must be allowed to be the leader. Faith must be allowed to be the leader. And today, if you brought your Bibles, go ahead and let's open them up and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to start reading verse number 7. And as you turn there, let me go ahead and recap just a little bit, talking about where we've come from. And as we remember and we kind of recall where we've come from, I believe it'll help us get to where get to where we're going today. If you remember, we're talking about the ABCs of faith, the faith basics. And when you can get down the fundamentals of any life, when you get down the fundamentals and as you rehearse them, it helps you perform the best way you can in that particular arena. All right, so we're talking about faith basics. We learned letter A of faith. We found out what faith is. Now, if you know what faith is by now, hopefully you do. If you can go ahead and say it with me, but faith is a persuasion, a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon what we've heard, what you've heard, what I've heard, whatever. We also learned this, that faith is simply what you believe. We saw that very first time that the Bible uses the word faith and it uses the word belief interchangeably. We also saw that faith happens in somebody's life according to the Word of God the same way belief does. We also saw that the concordance defined faith this way. And just so you know, Pastor Joe often refers to faith as being simply what you believe most often because we don't use words like persuasion or conviction. I just think it's maybe easier. But that's what faith is, all right? Then we also learned letter B, that faith, how faith comes. Now, does anybody remember how faith comes? That's right. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, today, if you're going to have the beliefs, if you're going to have the convictions, if you're going to have the persuasions that God wants you to have, they're going to have to be founded on the Word of God, all right? One more time. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, all right? We're talking about today Bible-based faith, Bible-based beliefs. Then we also learned that there is this principle in hearing and getting faith established within your life, that faith comes by hearing and accepting what you've heard as the truth. All right? Faith comes by hearing and accepting what you've heard as the truth. I disagree humbly. I disagree with the people who use this verse to say faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Listen, you could hear till you're blue in the face. All right? Faith will never take place, will never be formed in your heart and in your life until you come to the place where you've accepted what you've heard or what you've read from the Word of God as the truth. Everybody follow me? Today, if there's an area of your life and you're having trouble getting into faith about it, maybe you should ask yourself the question, have I really accepted this to be the truth? And if you find an area of your life where you're having trouble certifying something as truth that the Word of God has to say, then go find out what else the Word of God has to say about that situation, about that subject. And you know what? God will help you get into faith by helping you certify His Word as truth. All right, then we learn letter C, that faith must be released. Right? You can have all the faith in the world. You can have all the beliefs, all the convictions, all the Bible-based persuasions you want in the world and think that you're wonderful, and you are wonderful, but until you release your faith, it ain't gonna do you any good. All right? We saw that faith without works is dead. And so we have to come to a place where not only are there beliefs, convictions, and persuasions being formed within our hearts and within our lives, but we couple those beliefs with corresponding action. All right, of course, faith without works is dead, and we also learned, well, in the same way, faith with works, it's alive, and it's active, and it'll make the difference in your life. All right, so faith coupled together with works, we also saw that, what does that mean? I can release my faith by two vehicles, by what I say and what I do. And then last week, we talked about letter D, faith must be fed. Hey, listen, if you want to grow in faith, if you want your faith to be strong, listen, if you really want to live the way God's called you to live, you're going to have to feed your faith. We know from a natural standpoint, anything that you starve is going to be weak, is going to be beggarly, and eventually is going to come to a place where it's going to die, all right? You and I need to take heed, check out what beliefs have been formed within our hearts and within our lives, and we need to feed ourselves on the Word of God. Is everybody with me so far? Are you sure? Okay, all right. All right, letter E, faith must be allowed to be the leader. Here we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. Paul the Apostle here is talking about the Christian life, all right? And he comes along here and he makes this statement. He says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Pretty easy statement, pretty short, pretty simple, all right? But look at it again. For we walk or we live out our life. This is how we live. We live by faith, not by sight. In essence, he's saying exactly what our title is today. He's saying exactly what letter E is today, is that faith must be allowed to be the leader in your life. Come on. Look at your Bibles. What did he just say? He said, "For we walk by faith." The Christian life must live by what? Faith should be leading. All right. Now, he also makes this statement here. He says, "For walk by faith, not by sight." Now, I want to do this for a moment, because you'll find that the Word of God, when it's talking about a spiritual truth, oftentimes compares it to something that you and I understand in the natural. And it does that for the purpose of helping you to understand the spiritual truth that sometimes it may be hard to understand, hard to get your heart around, hard to get your mind around. So, in fact, you'll see Jesus do this in his teachings throughout the Word of God. All right, Jesus comes along and he uses what we call parables. For example, the kingdom of God is likened to a sower who goes out and sows the seed, all right? And the sower, he sows the seed, and some falls on good ground, some falls on thorny ground, some falls on, all right? And then all of a sudden, he comes along, and he explains what he's talking about. The sower sows the word. Okay, I get it. The seed is the Word of God. And the ground are the hearts of men. And so what is he doing? He's taking something that you and I, a sower simply going out to sow seed, something that you and I understand naturally to help us get a picture to help us get a picture of the spiritual truth. All right, so this is what I want to do. I want you to see the contrast, actually, that the Bible makes right here between walking by faith as opposed to walking by sight. At the end of today's service, we'll come to the point of, "And the Inland Empire shall be saved, and you will be dismissed." Question: what do you rely upon to get around? It's not a trick question. It's really not. It's not very deep. You rely on your sight, right? We'll call it like this. We'll call it, somebody might have said legs. Or I don't know. You said car. Okay. Let me be more specific. You're gonna rely on your eye. Isn't that right? Your eye is gonna determine for you. Your eye is gonna lead you where to take the next step. It's going to determine for you where you're going to put your foot next, all right? Your eye is going to say, "Hey, watch out, here's a chair, there's a wall, there's the door, here's the handle, here's how you get to where you need to go," right? Okay, just as the eye dictates where your foot is going to go next, so faith should be leading your life. One more time, just as your eye determines. See, we've all been there. We woke up in the middle of the night, went try to go to the fridge. Bam! Oh my God! All right, you couldn't see. All right, you rely. Let me say it again. You rely on your eye, where to take the next step. In the same way, you have to rely on your faith to govern, or how about this, to lead your life. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and get to, you have some blanks here on your page. I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you right now. We're going to talk a little bit more about it, but let me say it one more time. Just as the eye, just as you lean and rely on the eye to determine where you're going to go, so also you need to rely on your faith to govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. Your faith, your beliefs, your Bible-based convictions, your Bible-based persuasions are in your heart and in your life for the purpose of governing what you think, what you say, and what you do. If you guys in the back, if you guys can put up this same verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, in the Amplified Version, I want you to see what the Bible says in the Amplified Version. It says, "For we walk by faith. We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief." Isn't it interesting that the Amplified Bible just interchanged the word faith with the words conviction or belief? Those are our definitions. All right. "For we walk by faith. We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk," or this is how we walk, "not by sight or by appearance." So let me make this statement one more time. It's on your sheet. Faith should govern. Your beliefs should govern. Your Bible-based convictions should govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. And I want to take you full circle here, because I couldn't stop there. And I know that I'm going to be repeating myself a lot here. Sometimes repetition helps you get it. All right, but let me take you full circle here. Okay, let me do this. All of you guys are here. You're here tonight, right? And hopefully, as a Christian, you have a healthy habit of attending church frequently. I'm talking about the Christian should attend church multiple times a week. Isn't that right? Hopefully today you're not attending church once a month or twice a year on Christmas and an Easter or whenever you feel like it. Amen. But you have we're talking you attend church anywhere from two, maybe up to five times a week. That's not to say if you attend five, you're better than the one who attends two. And you just, please understand, to be a healthy Christian allows church to play a major role in their life. You're attending multiple times a week. And so what do? You show up. You put all your energy, your time, your effort. You bring your Bible. You got a pen. You got something to take notes. And you come and you sit down in a seat and you listen to a preacher preach. Then you go home. A couple of days later, you come and you do it all over again. What's the point? Think about that now. Do we just do this because this is what we do? Do we just do this because, we know that the Bible tells us we should do this. We know, okay, Pastor Joe, I know I come to church because I want to meet up with God, and you're absolutely right. But let's get a little bit more specific, because after all, you're spending all this time, all this energy, all this effort. You bring your Bible, taking notes, and you come and you sit down in a seat and you hear a preacher preach. All right, Mark chapter 16. I fully understand that this is not a shouting message, but you know what? It's a message that's good. And you know, you and I need to come to a place in our walks with God where whether the preacher's getting you to shout or whether it's just, you know, simple, steady teaching, you know what? My heart and my mind is focused. I'm hearing because God, really, it's God speaking to your life. And you and I, we need people to come along and under the anointing of God, explain God's word. All right. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. This is just before Jesus ascends. He gives this commandment to his disciples. This is the Great Commission, probably a familiar portion of Scripture. But he says this, and it says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" I see two entities in this verse. I see a preacher, and I see a hearer. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I see a hearer, I see a preacher, and I see a hearer. Then I see two results come from this encounter, this preaching and hearing, okay? Verse number 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." We're not going deep tonight. This is pretty easy. I see two results come from the interaction of preaching and hearing. Either the hearer will believe or the hearer won't believe. Pretty easy, right? Actually, that goes along with point number two, how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and except what you heard is truth. Some believe, some don't believe. Right? Question, what is the outcome that you think God wants to happen in everybody who hears? That they believe. God knows also the reaction to the action of preaching. And that's why he's designated some to be preachers, pastors, teachers. He does it for the purpose. This is why you come to church. You come to church for the purpose of hearing the word of God and having a belief formed within your heart and with your life, number one. Or the beliefs that you already have in your life, you come to have strengthened. Are you hearing me today? So when you come to church, you're coming for one of two reasons. Either to have a new belief, a new conviction, a new persuasion formed within your life from the word of God. Or if you come, man, I already heard this message. It's not time to leave early. It's time to allow God to strengthen the belief that you already have. All right, so you go through all this time, all this energy, all this effort. You come multiple times a week. You bring your Bible. You're taking notes. The preacher, he goes through all this time, all this energy, all this effort to prepare a message for the purpose of establishing a belief in your heart or strengthening the ones that you already have, right? Then what's the purpose of your beliefs? That's right. What did we say? The purpose of my faith, my beliefs, is to govern what I think, what I say, and what I do. So the beliefs that are formed and that are strengthened in your heart and in your life, when you're coming to church, when you're reading your Bible, when you're in prayer, that you're getting from God, they're being placed in your life, strengthened in your life for the purpose of governing what you think, what you say, and what you do. How many of you can remember when you were a kid? And maybe you're out on the front, you're out on the front lawn playing football with your friends. Sure enough, somebody kicked it off, and they kicked it too far, went to the middle of the street, and maybe you're on a walk with your family on a bike ride, and all of a sudden, you know, the sidewalk ended, it was the curb, and there you went, booking it into the street for the ball, or riding your bike without looking, and your mom or dad was like, hold on, young man, young lady, come here, right? You come here right now. I remember, happened to me in front of all my friends. Do you see this? That this is the end of the sidewalk. This is a curb. You are not to go in the street. And you know what? When you go in, if you have to go in the street, we're going to cross here in just a minute, or the football gets kicked, you need to look both ways before you cross. Don't you go running in the street. When you come to the edge, you look this way. Come here. Do you see a car coming? No. Okay, do you see a car coming? You do? Okay, do you see a car coming? No. Do you see? Okay, now go get the football. Okay, now let's go. What was the purpose of them teaching you that? To form a belief in your heart that when you came to the end of the sidewalk, you need to stop and you need to look both ways. Now, did they form that belief in your heart just so you could be like, dude, that's so cool, we have the same belief? No. They did that so in the event that they weren't around, you came running to that belief would govern what you thought, what you said, and what you did. Whoa, hold on. All my friends are running the street and half of them just died? No, I'm just kidding. All my friends are running to the street. I got to stop. I got to look this way. Now I'm going to go. The purpose of beliefs, the purpose of your beliefs are to govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. Now let me go here. Let's go to John chapter 12, verse number 42. John chapter 12, verse number 42 and verse number 43. Anyways, I'm not going to go there. I got too much to say to you. I need to get on with it. Okay, John chapter 12, verse number 42. We've read this before in our faith series, but it's good to go back over it and see, bring some other things to light here. All of a sudden, Jesus comes along now, and he's been preaching, and he's been teaching. All right? Same thing what we're talking about today. And it says this in verse number 42, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. All of a sudden, Jesus is preaching and teaching. What happens? Faith is formed, all right? It says, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. All of a sudden now, think about this, also now Jesus is preaching. And while he's preaching, while he's teaching, the Bible says that the rulers, some of the rulers, while they're listening, all of a sudden, you know what? This is the Son of God. This really is who he said, this is the deliverer that we have, this is the Messiah we have been waiting for all this time. Are you guys following me? I don't know about you, but when I read this story, it's almost like I can feel what's happening because Jesus is preaching and all of a sudden a faith, a belief is formed in their life. And the moment it's formed in their life, we're going to look at the story again. The moment it is formed in their life, that belief begins trying to lead them. That belief begins trying to dictate to them, trying to govern, in this case, what they said. And it is evident to me that all of a sudden now, in the middle of all of this, they come to a decision where now their faith is asking them to confess him. And they make the choice not to confess him because the Bible says that they didn't want to get kicked out and that they love the praises of men more than the praise of God. All right? Do you see here, number one, that faith is trying to lead them? Now, do you also see here that, and going back to our point, our title here, that faith must be allowed to be the leader? Let me make this statement for you. It's on your paper. Because faith will never force you to cooperate with it. Faith cannot and will not force you to yield to its leadership. It's going to have to be a decision that you make. We just talked about running into the street, right? Now, that was when you were a child. And all of a sudden, you became a teenager. All of a sudden, you thought, I know everything now. Mom, Dad, I could do it better than you. Right? And then you got on your own. And you know what? There were beliefs that they established in your life, beliefs that you accepted. But then you got on your own, and you didn't do them. Most of the time, it turned out bad, right? Right? Why? Because I guess what I'm trying to say is faith is not going to force you to cooperate with it. It's going to be a decision that you have to make on your own. I guess what I'm saying to you is this, is that if faith is going to work for you, if this whole coming to church and having faith established in you and strengthening you and church services and beliefs and convictions and God instilling and investing all this stuff within you, if it's really going to work for you, you're going to have to allow faith to lead you. You're going to have to allow what these rulers didn't. And that's going to be faith governing what you think, what you say, and what you do. You're going to have to, as you rely on your eye to get you around, you're going to have to rely on your faith to get you through life. You're going to have to allow it to, again, lead you and guide you in all that you think, and what you say, and what you do. And let me just be real blunt about it. As Christians, you should have faith leading you and guiding you in almost every area of your life. And I would say 95 to 98% of your life, you should be doing it by faith. Faith should be leading you. Your Bible-based beliefs should be governing what you think, what you say, and what you do in just about every area of your life. So question tonight, how much are you living by faith? Let me preface it. How do we know this? How many of you believe out there, that you don't have to raise your hands or anything, just answer this. How many of you believe out there that the Word of God has something to say in regards to just about every area of your life? And do you believe what the Word of God has to say about your life? Okay, let's try raising of hands. How many of you believe that the Word of God has something to say regarding just about every area of your life? Okay, the other areas are like, you know, the Bible doesn't say, okay, you have to pick this as your hobby. This has to be your favorite color, all right? All right? But we're talking about almost all your life. You believe, you all raised your hands and said that you believe that the Bible has something. Okay, so you believe what the Bible has to say. Those beliefs should be governing just about every area of your life because God's word has something to say about I'm getting all mixed up, about almost every area of your life. Okay, let me help you here. On the job? Dang. I'm going to meddle a little bit because God had to meddle with me. On the job, how many of you believe that you should work as unto God and not as unto men? That belief should be leading you on your job. How many of you believe that God's word has something to say about relationships? How many of you have a relationship of some kind? Marriage relationship, brother, sister, mom and dad, friends, family, everybody. That is everybody. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, he said more about relationships, but we're going to pick on this one for a minute. Jesus says, as I have loved you, so you also ought to love one another. Do you believe that? That belief should be governing your life in the area of relationships. How many believe that God has something to say about moral conduct. Right? God has something to say. The Bible says, as a Christian, be holy for I am holy. Do you believe that? Then that belief should be governing what you think, what you say, and what you do. Now let me just help you for a little bit without getting too far off the point. No, not yet. I'm sorry. Got ahead of myself. Okay. And the last one I'll pick on is this. When it comes to obtaining God's promises, how many believe that the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes, and in him, amen? Do you believe that? That belief's going to have to lead you and guide you when it comes to obtaining God's promises. Faith, your faith, should dictate, one more time, should govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. Now, you've got the next statement on your sheet that we're going to go to, and it is this. In order to switch to your faith and let it be the leader, you're going to have to say no to the flesh. In order to switch to your faith and allow it to be the leader, you're going to have to come to a place where you do the opposite of what these guys did, and you say no to the flesh. We just talked about it on the job. Y'all raised your hands, and I agree. I should work as unto God and not as unto men. But how many know when the boss is away, the flesh wants to play? And the flesh wants another 10-minute break. And the flesh wants to procrastinate. And the flesh wants to cut corners. In order for you to allow your faith to lead you and to guide you, which would be to work as unto God and not as unto men, you're going to have to tell the flesh no. When it comes to your relationships, you know as well as I do, it's not always easy to love as Jesus loved. Amen, Pastor Joe. You don't know what they did to me. No, I'm just kidding. But in the moment somebody hurts you, what does your flesh want to do? Wants to hold the grudge. Wants to get them back. How about this? Let's say that they don't hurt you. How many know your flesh well enough it wants to be selfish? But you said that you believed that I should love as he loved. That means that you're going to have to tell your flesh no in order to allow faith to be the leader in your life. What about moral conduct? You're going to have to tell your flesh no if you're going to live by faith. When it comes to obtaining God's promises, you're going to have to tell your flesh no. Hear me today. When it comes to obtaining God's promises, you're going to have to tell your flesh no in order to live by faith. I'm not talking about because if you do wrong, God's not going to give to you. I'm talking about when God doesn't show up the way you thought he was going to show up, and God doesn't give to you just the way you thought. And listen to me, you get a negative report in the area that you're living, you're going to have to tell your flesh no. No, I'm going to keep on letting faith be the leader in my life. You're going to have to tell your flesh no. Now, this is going to get a little bit harder before it gets easier. Because if you're living your life day to day, week to week, and month to month, and you're never saying no to your flesh, I question how much you're living by faith. We just said God's word has something to say about almost every area of my life, and I believe that. That means that I'm going to have to allow my faith to govern what I think, say, and do. But in order to do that, I'm going to have to say no to my flesh in almost every area of my life. Today, if you're going day after day, week after week, listen, I'm calling myself out just as much as I'm calling you out today. If you're going time on end and you're never saying no to your flesh, I question just how much you are really living by faith. Because, see, to live by faith, you're going to have to tell your flesh no. How much are you saying no to the flesh? Let me say this to you. We talked about moral conduct a little bit. I find that the place Pastor Joe has to say no most often is right up in here. If I say no up in here, then I avoid having to battle with this and with this. Are you guys following me? Some of you guys, you got issues you can't get past. And the reason why is because you're not first saying no up here. It takes place up. Listen, you'll never do something without thinking it first. Keep staying on our point. But if I'm going to live by faith, I'm going to have to say no to the flesh. If I'm never saying no up here, guys, you're asking for trouble. If I'm not saying, you know the whole idea, I'm not trying to pick on anything, the whole idea, you know, I was walking around and all of a sudden it just slipped. I just dropped the F-bomb. We've all been there, right? It just slipped. The problem is that what you don't realize is that sometime in your life, a week, month, a month, six, couple years ago, you were thinking. And if I've ever gotten to this situation, man, I want to drop the F-bomb. And in your mind, you're like, right? And then all of a sudden, a week later, month, a year later, all of a sudden, you get in that situation or one like it, and you're like, it just slipped. I don't know where it came. No, you failed to say no and allow your faith to govern what you think. And the same way with the rest of, in order to walk by faith, you're going to have to say no to your flesh, to allow faith to govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. Now, let me say this to you, too. This is probably, let me just say this. If you don't have a good habit of saying no to the flesh, then when it comes to the really important issues of life and living by faith in the weightier matters, you're going to find it real hard to live by faith. How do I know that? Because the Bible says if you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in the much. And if I'm not saying no in the little areas of my life, then when it comes to the serious things where I need God to show up and I need to live by faith, it's going to be real hard. And what happens is the people, they don't have a good habit of saying no. And then when it comes to serious issues, I got cancer, I need God to heal me. They deem it impossible to live by faith. It is of the utmost importance today that you and I start saying no to the flesh today. No to the flesh in what we think. No to the flesh in what we're saying. And no to the flesh in what we're doing. And what we're doing is we're allowing faith to be the leader. And what we're doing today, listen, I'm not trying to pick on you today. What we're doing today is we're trying to set you and me both up for success in our future. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be everything that he's called you to be, do everything that he's called you to do, obtain the things that he has for you. God, listen, when you get to heaven and you stand before him, God desires that you get a full reward. Not a half reward, not a partial reward, not no reward at all. Making to heaven by the skin of your chinny chin chin. But in order to obtain everything that God has for you, you and I, we're going to have to say no to the flesh. Listen, I can't afford to go there and joke like that. I've got to say no to the flesh. I can't afford there to sit there and like we said earlier, and entertain these kinds of thoughts. I can't afford to say that. I can't afford to do that. I've got to say no, and I've got to live by faith. The statement is, in order to switch to your faith and allow it to be the leader, you're going to have to say no to your flesh. Now, coming to our last point today. Just because, and here's the next statement here on your paper, just because you allow faith to be the leader doesn't mean you won't face any more problems in that arena of life. Continue allowing faith to guide you until God's promise is obtained. I can't tell you how many people who, they got it. I recognize my faith. I know what God wants me to do. And so what do? They get down on their knees, they pray, or they do whatever it is that God wants you to do, and all of a sudden now they get a negative report. They get a negative report, and then literally, guys, it blows them out of the water. And they never would have imagined that, hey, I prayed and I got into faith, and I still received a negative. I thought once I got into faith, I'd never receive a negative report again. The truth of the matter is that you can receive a negative report, but you're going to have to continue to allow faith, your beliefs, your Bible-based beliefs, to lead you and to guide you until you obtain God's promise. All right? I want to tell you a little story, a story in the Bible about a man by the name of Caleb. Here the children of Israel are, and God just delivered them from the most powerful nation on the earth. All right, and they've met up with God in the desert. Now they've come to the edge of the promised land, flowing with milk and honey that God promised to give to them. And so Moses gathers together 12 spies and sends them out into the land to check it out. So they come back and 10 of the spies bring this report. They say, man, it really is a land flowing with milk and honey. But see, but what you need to understand is that there's all these dudes. There's the Anakims and the Ites and you know what? We were like grasshoppers in their sight and in our sight. Not only did they think we were grasshoppers, we thought we were grasshoppers. Are you guys following me? There's no way we can take this land. It's heavily fortified, and the Bible says that the hearts of the children of Israel melted. And then Caleb and Joshua come back and say, wait. Wait, you got to hear our report. Our report is that it is a land flowing with milk and honey. But you know what? God said that he's going to give us the land. And I don't care who's in the land. God's going to drive them out before us, and we're going to possess the land. What do the children of Israel do? They decide that they're going to stone them, Moses and Aaron. They're going to raise up for a leader for themselves, and they're going to go back to Egypt. I don't know about... Really? Wait a minute now, because these guys just watched God deliver them from the most powerful nation on earth. These guys watched God drown the entire Egyptian army in the Red Sea. These guys watched God rain down manna from heaven. These guys had the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night, and they get to the edge of the promised land, and they're like, oh no, we gotta go. It sounds ridiculous. Here's the difference, is that Caleb and Joshua allowed faith to be their leader. And they came back and they brought a good report. The other 10 spies and Israel did not allow faith to be their leader. They didn't say no to their flesh. So because, see, now it's going to require them to do something. You're going to have to gear up here and you're going to have to go fight them. But God is on your side. Don't you know that God, he doesn't lose one. When God goes to battle for you, you ain't losing nobody. One time God sent one angel, and I think he wiped out it was like thousands of men. One angel just wiped them all out. That wasn't even God. That was just an angel. All right? Now here's the deal. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about just because you allow faith to be the leader doesn't mean you won't face any more problems or get a negative report in that arena of life. Here Joshua and Caleb are. Okay, let me finish the story. Okay, so they're like, we're going to stone Aaron, we're going to stone Moses, we're going to stone these guys, and we're going to raise up a leader for us, and we're going to go back to Egypt. All right? And so God is like, the Bible actually says that when they said that, the glory of the Lord appeared. And God came to Moses and said, I'm going to kill him! Anybody ever felt like that? Aren't you glad you're not the only one? That's okay. God actually told him, I'm going to leave their carcass right here, right now. And Moses said, Moses said, please, God, don't do that. Have according to the abundance of your mercy, great is your faithfulness. You better believe they were jumping as high as they could jump. Great is your faithfulness. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right, so Moses pleads for their life. Moses pleads for their life. And God says, all right, I'm not gonna kill them now. But you know what? They're not going to inherit the land. I'm going to lead them through the desert for 40 years. And every... buddy, age 20 and over, their carcasses are going to die. And I'm going to give this promised land to their children. But what about poor Joshua and Caleb? They allowed faith to be the leader. They brought back a good report. They were ready to go to war. And all of a sudden they get this report that they're going to have to wander the wilderness for 40 years. Now God did say to them, they're all going to die except for Joshua and Caleb. But could you imagine how Caleb felt? Am I ever going to inherit this promised land? The thing I like so much about Caleb is that 40 years long, in fact, God said it would be 40, it turned out to be 45 by the time they actually made it back around. 40 years, they all died off, and God started setting them up, and it took another 5 before Caleb was ready to take his portion of the land. Caleb is now 85 years old. Joshua 14, verses 6 through 12. Joshua 14, verses 6 through 12. says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of that name, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. Listen to Caleb. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he has said, as he has said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, but for going out, both for going out and coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord has said. And Joshua blessed him. Check out this guy's commitment to letting faith be the leader. This guy allowed faith to be the leader 40 years long while people died. Another 5 years by the time he came around to the mountain he wanted. And from the sound of it, he wanted the toughest mountain with the biggest dudes. At 85, I'm going to tear him up. Look at this guy allow faith to be the leader. Well, what does that have to do with you and I today? You know what? God's promise to Joshua was this, that every place that the sole of your foot touches, that ground is yours to take. And I'm here to tell you today, young people, that every foot, every piece of land, every piece of ground that the sole of your foot touches, that ground in Christ Jesus is yours to take. And it's going to be done by faith. And if you guys can put it back up there, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 and then 4 through 5, I want you to see this in the Word of God. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, what is that? Faith. Whoever believes, do you believe today? Believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You're born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him, who is begotten of him. Verse number 4, skim down to verse number 4 and verse number 5. They put the wrong things. Let me read it to you real quick. I didn't make it clear on my notes, I guess. Okay, let me read it to you real quick. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. For whatever is born of God, who is that? Thank you. I was about to quit. No, just kidding. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe today that Jesus is the Son of God? Is he your Lord and is he your Savior? Because the Bible just says that he's given you the land that your foot trods upon. It is the victory. That land belongs to you in Christ Jesus. You have the victory in Christ Jesus in every area of your life. With your family, on your job, with your friends, in your ministry, at your schools. You name it, you got it. If you'll just allow faith to lead you in life and say no to the flesh. Am I talking to anybody in the house today? Because I'm about to do a lap around the room for all of y'all. Glory be to God, I get to say no to the flesh today. Glory be to God, I get to be led by him. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I like what Peter said. He said, where else can I go? You alone have the words of life. I'm going to follow. I'm going to do. And I hope you will too. Come on, if you got something good from God's word today, go ahead and give him a great big praise.